Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful Overbooked, and the weekend is here, so it's time to talk about the news, making it worthy, making it worthwhile, talking about all your favorite stuff from the last week of professional wrestling news and rumors and roundups and all the things. Jeremy Lambert's here, and he's staring awkwardly at y'all, so I will join you.
Look in my eyes, Joel Pearl. What do you see? That actually hurts my eyes.
A guy not going back to WWE? I don't know.
Oh, that was good. That was good. It's a good rhyme. It's like you're a musician or something.
Some would say. How are we doing, Jeremy? How was your week? How are you feeling?
I'm good. I'm the best I've been in about 2 weeks after getting over COVID. So I'm feeling okay. I actually just like strained my eyes doing that. That was probably a bad idea, but I'm feeling good, Joel Pearl. It's Saturday morning, according to this podcast.
Yes,
the World Cup is on. USA is dominating Netherlands right now. They've already victorized. If you're watching this later on in the afternoon, I don't know if that's a word, but USA moving on to face Argentina. USA, USA, World Cup, World Cup.
That's Canada doing. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Mexico North is out.
Oh, that's a shame. Anyway,
Mexico's also out.
Oh, well, then I guess all the Mexicans are just out of this tournament. Anyway, y'all know how this works. We picked five news stories from the week that Jeremy wrote. We're going to talk about them, break them down, tell you why they're relevant, tell you maybe why you should have paid attention to them throughout the week when they flew by your news feed, or maybe they stuck around. So let's get right into it. It was this actually was a very interesting week. I think there's a lot of really, really cool stuff and some stuff that came out that was unexpected. Jeremy, do you have anything to add before we hop into number five?
No, because I don't know what you're talking about. This is just a normal work week for me, Joel Pearl.
I thought there was something to talk about just about every day. So let's start with number five. Stokely Hathaway opens up about his mental health struggles and leaving WWE. Stokely appeared on Renee Paquette's The Sessions this week. A very interesting interview because not only did he have a lot to say about his personal struggles with mental health and things that happened after he left WWE, but also dropped a little tidbit about CM Punk that a lot of people didn't expect to hear. So tell me why Stokely and this article spoke to you and why you wanted to highlight it today.
So this was a great interview with Stokely and Renee. And Stokely doesn't do like a ton of interviews. This is his first like big interview, I believe, since joining AEW. He did like the comedy show where he talked about leaving WWE and everything. But this was his first like real big interview and everything. And yeah, the CM Punk thing is what everybody, you know, talked about, got all the headlines, CM Punk wanting to work with the firm, everything like that, him saying CM Punk's no longer with the company, which people kind of ran with. And I'm just thinking, like, it's just Stokely just being like, he's not really there. That's kind of how I view it. Like, I don't think Stokely has any insight if he's there or not there or anything like that. Could be completely wrong. And people might accuse me of knowing more than I know after I tell a little story here after the end of this. But I really like the mental health portion of this because I am big on mental health. I appreciate anybody who opens up about their mental health and what they go through. And him saying, like, I woke up one day and just checked myself in and committed myself to a place in Florida. And then him saying, like, it wasn't very helpful because it was almost like prison. And, you know, they tried like music therapy and they asked one guy what his song was. And he's like, I Get Pussy by Genuine or whoever it was. Like he didn't find it helpful. And I thought that was sad in and of itself of that. Hey, like, you know, you're supposed to go to these places for help And he thought this was the best decision for him. He thought this is what he needed to get help. And it wasn't helpful. I thought that was very unfortunate that he had to go through that because he thought he was doing the right thing. And I think if you're in that position, it is the right thing to do. But it's just sad that he didn't get anything beneficial out of it. He fortunately, he said he talked to his close friends and everything. And no one knew about this. Like, we knew that he, in February, seemingly turned down a contract offer. And Sean first reported that. He confirmed that in his little stand-up session. And then he got released in April and everything. So no, but no one knew like what he was going through and stuff. But my overall point is I appreciate when wrestlers and athletes and really anyone are open and honest about their mental health and their struggles, because a lot of times I think we view these people as just larger than life on a pedestal type people. And it's like, hey, they got real issues as well. And yeah, so I appreciate that Stokely was very honest about these things and told that story.
Yeah. I remember hearing the part about music therapy, obviously, because I do work in music and I've had some friends who are music therapists, and I was upset to hear that. I thought that there's obviously not every single mental health facility is perfect, and it just sucks to hear that someone's experience was not what they expected or what they hoped to get. So again, a really great interview on so many levels. It's worth checking out Stokely on the Sessions. And yeah, he definitely opened up in a way that I don't think anyone really expected from him. So it was good. It was really good. Do you have anything else to add about the interview as a whole, or anything that really stuck out to you otherwise?
So a few things, but not so much the interview stuff, more just like mental health and everything. I think it's very important to be honest about these things. You don't have to you don't have to go on a podcast and talk about all this stuff. If you don't want to, you don't have to tweet about this stuff. I know I kind of use Twitter as an outlet when I'm having a shitty day. I will post about that and be like, hey, today just kind of sucked. You know, if you have, you know, Stokely mentioned he has close friends that he talked to, and he found out just how close they were because like none of this stuff got out. Nobody knew about this stuff until he decided to open about. I think it's very important to have close friends, have a tight knit circle, or just any, maybe it's not one, maybe it's not multiple people. It's just one person. I mention my wife all the time, how I feel I can talk to her about anything. And if I'm struggling, I can always just sit down with her and just lay it all out for her. I think it's important to have those people in your life. I say this all the time. If you are struggling, or if you need someone to talk to, you want to vent, you just want to get away, escape from things, message me. My DMs are open. We can talk, we can bullshit, we can talk about other things, whatever you want to do. I think it's important. And Stokely mentioned like praying and reading and things like that is how he has kind of dealt with his mental health and depression and stuff. I think it's important to find an outlet like that you can just kind of tap into immediately if there's not someone to talk about. For me, like, video games is a big thing. Like, if I'm having a terrible day, I like to just play video. I like to play Fight Night and punch people in the face in, you know, virtual reality, because that is helpful to me. A type of food, a comfort food, something like that. I think that is very important. So just we're all dealing with stuff, right? Like, everybody's dealing with stuff. I never find that my problems are bigger than yours, or this person's problems is bigger than this person's problems. Like, no problem is too small. You might think it's a little thing and like, oh, I don't want to bother anybody with that. No, like, someone is willing to listen. Someone wants to, quote unquote, be bothered with that. So let them know. If it's bugging you, if it's on your mind, talk to somebody about that. I don't want to say like I have this great relationship with Stokely Hathaway or anything, but we've exchanged DMs. He's always been very kind to me in the past, and a lot of it's just been like promote. Like, he sees an article that I've written, and he has, you know, been like, hey, can you like mention this? I was like, yeah, sure, like, I got no problem. He messaged me like when I would do different stuff of like, he thought the psychosis leg drop was very funny. There you go. I put that out there for everybody. I don't think I've ever mentioned that before. So Stokely and I have like exchanged DMs every now and again. And I messaged him after this, and I just said like, thank you for sharing your story about this. Like, Stokely is a guy that I admire. Like, I admire not only from just him willing to say these things, I admire him from like a content perspective, because I find him very funny. I find him very creative, and I find him very, the way he thinks, I really enjoy. And so, yeah, he's someone that I just admire from like a content creation perspective. So I appreciated that he told the story, and I just messaged him. I said, hey, thanks for sharing your story, man. Like that was big. And, you know, I told him I admire him, and he just said, thank you. So yes, we've exchanged pleasantries, and you know, now people might think we're like close or whatever, but that's not true at all. I think it's important for these stories to get out there. And he's not the first person that like wrestler that I've messaged, thanking them for like sharing this story, because I do think these are important stories to get out there. And from my perspective, I think it's important to like cover, because I want these stories out there, because I think it does make these wrestlers a lot more relatable, and I think it shows like they're going through shit as well. And I'm hard on myself, because I hear some of these stories in interviews, and I don't think I always do the best job of covering them, and I'm trying to be better at that. So I appreciate that Stokely would, you know, put all that out there for everyone to consume.
So first of all, thank you for sharing a lot of that. It was, I think it's really helpful that people understand that it's okay to not be okay, and it's okay to reach out when you need that. And I wholeheartedly agree. For the sake of levity, and because I want to pull at one thread, you mentioned comfort food. What is that comfort food for you that after a rough day or a rough spell helps you maybe pull out of a funk?
Milk and Oreos. So I have milk and Oreos like every single night, and it's not like, even if I have like the best day ever, like I'm still going to have milk and Oreos. And but that is like a comfort of like, okay, I can just sit here on the couch or in bed, and I can just have my milk and Oreos, and like the day is just over and tomorrow is anew. So like every single night I have milk and Oreos, and like in my head, I basically just reflect on the day, or I just wash the day away and like just think of nothing but just the great taste of my, I've really fallen in love with mint Oreos. Is they're kind of like Thin Mints. They're really good. Dip them in the milk and everything. Was not a big Oreo dipping in milk person. I would just always eat them and then drink the milk and everything. The wife got me into like the dipping and everything. But yeah, milk and Oreos is a comfort for me. So I have that every single night, usually no matter what, because that you know, helps me.
Just don't eat them in the bed, man. That's just not good.
No. Sometimes you got to. Like, I don't. Nah, sometimes, like, man, we go to bed early after a long day or something, and I'm like, I got to have my milk and Oreos. I'm not just going to sit here on the couch. I will have them in bed. Like, that's just how I roll, Joel Pearl.
All right. I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life. I'm not a big eater in bed unless I'm at a hotel, because there's very few places to eat in a hotel. That's just me.
Yeah. You wash the sheets, you know, you vacuum it up a little bit. Look, man, all these kids running around and stuff, the bed is all messed up anyway. A little crumb or two ain't going to hurt it.
All right, little crumb or two. Let's move on. Number four. Serratone explains why Roman Reigns didn't wear red at WWE Survivor.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Series. So for some, Sarath is known as McKay's or McKazi or however you pronounce his name. When he was an independent wrestler, he is a seamster for WWE. He creates a lot of gear. He may or may not be involved with a certain WWE superstar who may or may not be coming back to the company, but nobody knows. And we go back and forth and we vacillate about whether or not they are heading back. But it's not important here who they're related to or who they're with. The whole conversation here is Sarath speaking to Sam Roberts, our favorite over at Not Sam Wrestling, about the reasoning behind the bloodline wears red, but Roman does not. This was a really funny and interesting story. Go ahead and tell it, Sarath on Sam Roberts.
So I actually forgot, like, this interview was with Sam Roberts when I sent you this. I was like, oh, well, now you brought it. I was like, shit, we're just putting Sam Roberts over every single week.
Putting over Sam.
Yeah.
It's fine. Eventually he'll replace you on this show somehow.
That's fair. So yeah, the interview, like, he does the gear Sarath does for WWE. He's been doing it for a long time. And so he has, like, cool little backstage stories and everything about that. And this particular one, I think everyone noticed that Roman Reigns was not wearing the red pants that everyone else in the bloodline is wearing at Survivor Series. And I think, I mean, this is what I thought anyway, is it's because, like, he's the tribal chief. He's, like, ahead of them. And it's like, all right, if I want you to wear red, you wear red, but I'm going to wear black to, like, stand out and show that I'm just on this higher level than everybody. That's what I thought of why Roman was not wearing red. And that's, like, they explained it, like, hey, that is one thing, but it was also just like Roman didn't like the fabric that he was given for the red pants, and so he decided he was not going to wear red. And I just thought it was an interesting little tidbit of information there. And then the more they talked about it, like the storytelling stuff they do with the gear, I think a lot of people pick up on some of this stuff, like when Seth Rollins comes out with the dusty gear at Hell in a Cell, or he comes out with the RVD gear at Extreme Rules and stuff. Like, we have a show here on Fightful Overbook, Strong Style, with Joel and Cher Delaware. They talk about gear on the big shows. And there are, like, storytelling elements in the gear of these wrestlers. So hearing from the person who makes the gear and then giving this little anecdote about Roman Reigns' gear, I thought it was very, very fun, very, very interesting.
He wore the red gauntlets. And I think that just that brought a lot of people around to the idea that, you know, Roman Reigns does whatever he wants and that's good enough. Or that the other four men in the match, like, did his dirty work as one would do in a fist. You know, Roman's the thumb, yeah. It's protected, but everyone else is in red, like the rest of his gauntlet. It worked. I mean, again, I like that Sarath, you know, kind of explained what was going on. At the same time, did you buy it?
That Roman just didn't like the red gear.
They didn't like the fabric. That he didn't like the feel. Did you buy that?
I could buy that. Yeah. I mean, Roman's gonna go out there and he wants to be comfortable and everything. And if he doesn't like the feel of the fabric of this, and if it was his first time, like, wearing it, I could see him just being like, "Yeah, look, I'm not really feeling this." And I do think Roman, he's a very smart guy. I do think he also just thought of, like, I can get away with saying no to this red, where, you know, if Jey Uso doesn't like the fabric, no offense to Jey, but if he doesn't like the fabric and he's like, well, I'm going to be the only person wearing black, then it's like, nah, man, like, you got to wear the red. You got to deal with this shit. All right. You got to stick with it and wear the red. Roman can be like, I don't need it. We can still tell the story that of why I don't have it.
I'll wear the accent colors. That's good enough. I don't know. It's such a weird thing to have to explain. You know, he put it on to see how it felt. At the end of the day, he's a tribal chief. He gets to do what he wants. There's, like, this good, and actually I praise this a lot. There's this good mixing of kind of kayfabe, like, he's too good for this and he deserves to be too good for this, versus, like, no, he legitimately did not like the texture of the fabric. And you kind of, like,
you
roll your eyes
out
a little.
Roman Reigns for lying, Joel Pearl?
Yes. No, I yes, I am. You know what, Roman? Come on this show and agree or disagree with me. Go ahead. Give me the scoop. Why not?
Roman Reigns is a liar, according to Joel. He had to wear the black pants. Had to wear them.
He has to. Oh, God. Good stuff. Number three, let's move on. Barry Bloom explains how he negotiated Scott Hall's WCW deal and Sean Waltman first approaching him. I listened to this the other day. This is Barry Bloom on Talk is Jericho. Jericho has had Barry Bloom under his services for, God, I think they said it was about 20, 25 years almost. And Barry Bloom was, of course, the manager to the stars, the guy who negotiated tons of big money contracts in WWE. They tell a lot of really interesting stories on this Talk is Jericho interview. Barry Bloom talking about Scott Hall's WCW deal and Sean Waltman approaching him at the time. This little kid. Go ahead.
So I thought this was a really great interview. You hear about Barry Bloom in like wrestling circles because he is this big time agent to a lot of the big wrestling stars, but you don't hear from Barry Bloom to my knowledge. Like I've never listened to anything that I can recall from him. And he has a, you know, longtime relationship with Jericho and everything. So it makes sense that he'd be on Jericho's podcast. And I found this story kind of interesting because I personally did not know that like Waltman was the one to like approach and sort of almost broker this whole thing. Like, am I just behind on this, Joel? Like, did you know that Waltman had first met and was like, hey, I want to get out of my deal. I want to jump. And he's like, well, you got too many years left. And then he's like, well, you know what? Scott Hall wants out of his deal as well. And you know, what can we do here? Like Waltman kind of brokered this stuff with Barry Bloom and going to WCW. And I didn't know that detail of it.
So I kind of knew, and that's only because of the Wade Keller stuff, right? Wade okay. and Sean are very tight. So like little things had come together, but it was never like who said it or how did it get here. So this part where he gives a little bit more color about, you know, you have so many years left, well, I can bring you Scott Hall as well. Stuff like that was new to me. And maybe people in the comments are going to say, you know, oh, I've always known about this. I've been watching wrestling since 1992, whatever. This was still a really insightful interview to get some of this content.
I mean, there was this little tidbit. There was stuff about like how much Jericho was making in WCW. The Jesse Ventura stuff was really good. I have more coming from this interview that I've transcribed. Just haven't run any of it yet. But yeah, there was some really good like information on this and some good like just behind the scenes of negotiating and stuff and just how influential Barry Bloom has been when it comes to wrestling and getting guys bigger deals, because you hear Jericho talk about it of like, yeah, Vince doesn't want to work with agents. Understandable. I don't think really Bischoff wanted to work. I don't think anybody would want to work with agents because agents know what they're doing. Whereas wrestlers are just like, sure. You know, we've heard the Scott Hall stuff of like guaranteed money, Hall and Nash, like guaranteed money, limited dates. Barry Bloom confirms of like, I put that in Scott Hall's contract of like, anybody not named Hulk Hogan, if they come over or if they get a raise, Scott's getting a raise on top of this. And he says like, yeah, when Brett comes in, like they had to renegotiate Scott and Kevin's deal to get him more money and stuff. It was in there. Barry Bloom confirms that it was in there. Like Shawn Michaels comes in. If Austin comes in, if The Undertaker comes in, like if they jump to WCW, whatever you're paying them, you got to pay Scott Hall that same money as these guys. And it's like Barry Bloom just fucking got the bank for Scott Hall. Bless him.
He also, in some ways, you know, helped to create the NWO, which is something that kind of came up within the conversation with Jericho. And the first half of the interview, they spent a lot of time talking about Jesse Ventura and the trials and tribulations of his experience working with Barry. And to, I think, certain degrees, this whole wrestling agent thing, and Barry specifically, wouldn't be as prominent had he not worked out the deals with Jesse Ventura and eventually went to court to try and get some of those royalties for Ventura. It's a really interesting interview, and there's a lot of really good history in this thing.
Yeah, I encourage everybody to listen to it, because we've praised Jericho before as an interviewer, especially when he's got like really close relationships with these guys like Barry Bloom, especially when it's a guy you just don't hear from a lot. I think those are always, you know, the best interviews, because you have not heard the same story from these guys a million times, or they want to put a new twist on the story because we've already heard it a million times. And it's like, well, I got to freshen this up. So yeah, really good stuff with Barry Bloom. And I didn't know the Sean Waltman stuff. The way you hear it on like the DVDs and everything, it was just like, yeah, Scott and Kevin were just trying to get out of their deals and jump and everything. I didn't know that it was basically Waltman who went there first and won it out. And then that led to everything. So to me, this was some very new information.
I swear to God, Scott Hall, and it's not going to be the Scott Hall show. It's not going to be the Kevin Nash show, the Hulk Hogan. At the end of the day, it's going to very much turn out that Sean Waltman was the brains behind the entire clique.
I kind of already think that, if I'm being honest.
Intelligent guy.
Yes. Yeah. I've always had, like, listening to his podcast that he's done, like, off and on, just listening to, like, any conversation he has done, I've always found him to be very intelligent. He's always come off as the most genuine of the members, especially in the later days and everything. Like, he owns up to a lot of stuff, which, you know, not everybody, either nobody else remembers, or they're still just gonna bullshit it all, which is fantastic in its own right. But Waltman certainly, like, just, like, owns up to a lot of stuff and seems like he has, like, genuine remorse for a lot of it as well. And it seems like there's the one story that FTR tell of when they took the Finisher Buffet from DX and everybody at the Raw whatever anniversary, I think 25.
25.
Yeah. So they took the Finisher Buffet on that, and they were upset.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Like, nobody, like, said anything. Like, you know, you're supposed to thank the guy for doing business and everything, and this got them heat with, like, Shawn Michaels and everything. But they're like Waltman was, like, very appreciative and said thank you and everything. And so I've always just found him to be a really, really nice guy in interviews. So it would not shock me at all if he's like, yeah, I was behind DX, I was behind NWO, I was doing everything I could for the clique, and if it wasn't for me, all these guys would have been in much more trouble and would have had their careers ended 10 years before they actually did.
There's a story from the WWE 24 about that Raw 25 where X-Pac, remember he had that dog that he would carry around, yes, in a harness?
Yeah.
And it had a lot of ailments. I think he had the dog for maybe a year or two, but, like, no one had ever seen him out with the dog at a wrestling event. So he gets out of the car, and the Undertaker is walking up, and it's on the WWE 24 on this Raw 25 show. And Undertaker just like, "Oh, who's this?" And he explains, "You know, it's my dog. And I just got him." And Undertaker's like, "Today?" And Xbox just like, no, it's just I've had him for a while, or I've had her for a while." Anyway, this is a fun little tidbit. Go back and watch that, but. Yeah, I think Xbox has a lot more fingers in the pies than people really recognize. But let's move on, because we're talking about Barry Bloom on Talk is Jericho. We got to talk about Chris Jericho. Number two, Chris Jericho has heat with Lori Beth Denberg, but would put it aside for business. Chris Jericho was on RJ City's Hey EW show. RJ City, who once spent 15 minutes talking at me at a show. He did the same with Jericho, but this time Jericho actually had what to say back to him. This was an all-timer episode of Hey EW. I don't have much to say because RJ City might just stare at me and talk for a while. Go ahead.
I don't watch this show nearly as much as I should, because I think RJ City is great. And it is such just dumb wrestling comedy, which I'm all about, that even if there aren't, like, you know, stories in this, you can pull some dumb shit like this out of it and just turn it into something. And that's very much up my alley. And I'm using this platform right now to apologize to RJ City for not covering Hey EW more, because I should watch this weekly and I should pull a story out of this every single week, because it's tremendous banter. It really is. And Chris Jericho, who, again, we praise all the time, but he's got stories to tell and everything, right? With RJ City, like, he's just going off on tangents about stuff, or stuff that, like, nobody's really asking about, because, you know, they're trying to ask the usual questions to Chris Jericho. Like, he's mentions, you know, figure it out, and Lori Beth Denberg, which was a great bit. He's talking about Downfall, the show Jericho hosted. He's like, do you think it failed because it was called Downfall? Like, it's fun. He banters so well with people. And, you know, there's some people, I think he's told the story of, like, maybe it was like Jim Ross. He's like, yeah, I don't think like Jim Ross, like, really understood what he was getting into and seemed like actually upset by like the things I was saying. But then you get people like Chris Jericho, who you may think Jericho is like above this kind of stuff or whatever, but Jericho is all about just like hanging out with the boys and doing shit with the boys and everything and just having a good time with them, to where like, yeah, he's just gonna fuck around with RJ City for 20 minutes. So this is great. Lori Beth Denberg references, old school 90s Nickelodeon references. I'm all about it. I thought this was hilarious. Jericho saying, like, I got heat with her. You know, I used to date her. But sure, business got to play. You know, if we could do business together, it's fine. The look on RJ City's face when Jericho's like, I don't even know if she's alive. It was absolutely fantastic. So yeah, watch AEW. RJ City's great. I apologize to RJ City for not covering this every single week and just pulling something out of it, because it's fucking hilarious.
So I'll say this about Jericho. You're right that he loves to pal around with the boys. And this show, AEW, is probably perfect for him because he's also the center of attention. Like, he's the interviewee. Whereas when Jericho did Talk and Shop on his Talk is Jericho podcast, he was very much the worst member of the four, because he tried to get into every joke and be a part of it as if he knew all the bits. It works when he's the guy at the center of things and the center of attention. Otherwise, it just kind of exists. And by the way, yes, JR was not a great guest, but a guy of his vintage who was Arn Anderson.
Yeah. Remember the Arn Anderson one? And RJ City talks about that interview before and how he loved doing that with Arn Anderson. So it's a fun show. I watch it probably not as regularly as I should. I should just watch it every week. But I don't cover it nearly enough. This is probably like maybe the second or third story that I've pulled from it. And like, I should just find a way to pull something every single week. And this is my news writing. Wow, Jeremy's news writing tips. Cover dumb shit, find a way to pull something out of it, even if it is a unique thing like that. There's a lot of generic 8-minute interviews out there that with, you know, the Bianca Belairs and the Drew McIntyres and the guy and the Tony Khans who do interviews every single week that just like don't give you a whole lot to work with. Sure, you don't have to cover that. When it's a show like this where they're doing wacky stuff, they're doing off the wall stuff, and it might only be like 8 to 12 minutes, find a way to just pull a story out of it, because it's just unique content that other websites typically aren't going to cover, or you can set a standard and other websites will start to cover it, and then you look like a genius.
Also, I'm gonna just add this. If you're gonna do it respectfully. Don't make everything this weird, someone's got to be attacked, or they got to add some editorialized version of your headline. We've seen a lot of that lately. Get that out of here. Please stop it. It doesn't work. If you're going to report the funny shit, or you want to report whatever, just report it. Don't editorialize it. It's not hard.
No. And like, some stuff you can get away with editorializing, like, you know, Chris Jericho's heat with Lori Beth Denberg. Like,
oh,
you can editorialize.
But he talks about that. That's the thing. Right. He openly talks about it. When you add little superlatives, or you add little like additions to your headline that have absolutely nothing to do with the article that you're writing,
yes,
that's the problem.
That's a big problem where people want to try a headline pop, and but it has absolutely nothing to do with the actual story. Like that. Like so. For example, I could. There's a Brian Kendrick. There's more behind the scenes stuff. A Brian Kendrick article that I wrote this week. It was with Icons of Sports Entertainment interviews. And I don't know how old it was. I feel like it was at least a couple weeks old, but it just came out this week. Brian Kendrick, big in the news this week, because Ronda Rousey reportedly requested he be the producer for her Survivor Series match. you know about Brian Kendrick's history. You know about Ronda Rousey's history. So the interviewer asked, like, hey, what advice would you give to, like, young talent, up and coming talent and stuff? Because I think Kendrick runs like a wrestling school or something, or is involved in a wrestling school. And he's just like, you know, I would tell them, like, own your mistakes. Don't make the same mistakes that I did and everything like that. So that's just my headline of, like, what Brian Kendrick actually said of, like, I would tell talent, I'll be fair to myself and to Brian Kendrick, and pull the actual headline here. One second as I search. It said, I'd be happy to help kids learn from my mistakes, is what he says. And that's my headline. I'm not going to editorialize that and say, I'd be happy to tell kids don't spout Holocaust theories, because that's not what he says in this interview. That has nothing. You can put that in the article. You can reference things like that in the article. And I don't even like going overboard with that. I like, this might be a flaw of mine that a certain prominent wrestling investigative journalist called me out on, privately. So now I'm putting it out there. But I like link backs to do sort of heavy lifting of, hey, Brian Kendrick was released by WWE. He was going to AEW. That got canceled because of past comments he made about theories related to the Holocaust. Here you can read what he said instead of putting in this article of, like, this is all that he said about this. I like link backs to do heavy lifting for that kind of stuff. But my overall point to this is, yes, if, you know, a funny fit, not, it's not even funny. If, like, a past thing is something, oh, I can dunk on this person in a headline or something like that, or I can make a crack in this headline on something, but it has nothing to do with the actual topic at hand, like, don't do it. Like, don't call out Brian Kendrick or Ronda Rousey for, you know, the producing story is an easy one of Ronda Rousey requested Brian Kendrick to be the producer for her match because they both have Sandy Hook theories. It's like, we don't know this, who knows? Like, don't also put it in the headline.
And it's clearly not the reason why the two or Ronda asked to work with him. They have trained together. She was trained by Brian Kendrick. I'm not going to sit here and defend either person and their personal views on anything, but just because we're using this example, there's very clearly, like, it's out there. Brian Kendrick did train Ronda Rousey. Ronda felt like this was a comfortable position to have Brian come in and help her out with the match, because she felt like the guy who trained her would be a good addition to the match. Now, regardless of how you felt about that match, it wasn't very good, in my opinion. It was not great, but they tried something. And I think that's really as far as it should go in terms of the discussion, or at least the reporting. They worked together professionally. She was trained by this guy. She requested him. That's the headline. Whatever your words may be. Yeah.
But I will say, you know, for me, I have kind of, I'm trying to think of the correct words here. I don't want to praise myself too much. But I have sort of gathered a reputation for headline pops and stuff, right? Like, I think that's fair to say, is I have done a good job when it comes to Fightful and getting a lot of traction with Fightful of just different kind of headlines that are a little more than just like your generic stuff that I think most people are used to reading from websites. You know, Sean has credited me of like our Fightful social media. Kyler does most of the work. And the reason we have like 110,000 followers on that thing is because Kyler, but Sean has also credited me of like, and Jeremy's headlines, because people will see it and like, oh, okay, well, this seems fun. So like, I feel I've done a good job with that. Not everyone can do it is what I'm trying to say. And, you know, just be smart about it, because actually everyone can do it, but people want to try a little too hard to do it. And there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. And yes, don't twist the story and editorialize in a headline like that. Inside the story, again, if it has nothing to do with anything, don't do it there either. But with fun stories like this, to try to bring it back to more humor. I know what our last topic is, so that's plenty humorous.
Yeah, we'll lead into
for
that.
Fun, yes. So for like fun stories like this with Chris Jericho, Laurie Denberg, like you can have a little bit of fun in the article and crack your own little one-liner jokes and everything. I did the I think we talked a little bit about it last week. The Black Label Pro releasing a referee because they talked bad about Taylor Swift. Like every line in that article, I just had like a Taylor Swift reference to it, and I editorialized completely of like, this referee sucks. He should be released. I stand with Black Label Pro on this, because when it is just fun stories like that, you can do that. You just gotta understand the actual story, and I think sometimes people don't do that. And I think that's why a lot of people like want to look down on wrestling news sites and wrestling journalism, because they want to try to turn everything into a joke, or they don't want to just full on report what's actually out there. And I know people look down on a lot of wrestling sites just for whatever reason. It's like, this isn't journalism type of thing, or misquoting and things like that. Just understand your story.
Straight up, that's all it is.
That's the best I can say.
Let's move on. Let's do number one. Dax Harwood says, all Bryan Danielson does is talk about penis sizes in the locker room. Dax Harwood was at WrestleCade and he spoke to some guy who works at Fightful. There's an interview up on youtube.com/Fightful. Go check it out. Dax had plenty to say, not just about his contracts and about his time in WWE and AEW, but he also has plenty to say about Bryan Danielson and penis sizes. And then they had a really good match on Dynamite this past Wednesday, so I guess that's worth mentioning. Jeremy, talk to me. Dax Harwood, you did the transcription from this interview.
So Sean specifically was like, you know, he interviewed Dax at WrestleCade, which I'd heard about, and then he specifically was like, you got to write this article and about Dax and he knows I'm a big Danielson fan and everything. We've talked about my Danielson headlines. Just beyond that, like as a professional wrestler, huge Bryan Danielson. Imagine thinking that guy ain't the fucking GOAT. So he was like, you got to write this. Yeah, he was going to wrestle him on Wednesday. And he talks about the match a little bit, like being excited, being like this setup. Could have gone very generic headline of like, Dax Harwood excited to wrestle Bryan Danielson, explains how the match came together, some shit like that. I don't know. But then Sean did ask about, like, have you seen this guy's headlines and his wild stuff? And Dax, I got a little bit of heat with Dax because he's like, haven't really seen this. I'm like, what do you mean, Dax? I see you're online. You're plugged in. Don't tell me you've not seen these headlines, Dax Harwood. I know who you talk to. I see how much you tweet. You've seen these headlines, Dax. So Sean does coax it out of him, and he's like, there's this one about flaccid penises, and Dax is like, he's always in the locker room talking about penis sizes. I was like, well, that's the headline. And then Sean's like, yeah, that's got to be the headline. Like, but make sure you talk about, like, you write about, like, the Danielson match and everything. I was like, okay, sure. I'll throw that in there. Who gives a shit about the match? Let's talk about penis sizes. Always fun when I can put over the exclusives that we get on Fightful, because we got a lot of hardworking people who do a lot of interviews, and Sean's got a bunch coming from WrestleCade that'll see the light of day in like 9 months from now, I'm sure. So that's always fun, and yeah, anytime Sean, I'll be nice to him right now. Because typically I was a little bit on the spotlight because he's going through COVID and everything. You know, typically it's fuck Sean Ross Sapp. But I will say this about Sean. He does a very good job in doing well by our website, but a large part by virtue of me, since I write so many of the articles, of bringing this stuff up with wrestlers and everything. Sometimes he will name drop me. Other times he'll just say like the website. So like bringing this up with Dax, all the Danielson headlines and stuff. Bringing up the very famous one is the Johnny Gargano one where I got heat with Johnny Gargano over he would be pregnant for if Candice LeRae could still wrestle. When Sean interviewed Johnny Gargano, he mentioned that of like, hey, like, what's up? And Gargano apologized on air and just talked about it. And Gargano and I exchanged pleasantries after that and everything. Sean is very good about like either putting over kind of the work that I do for the website, or I guess calling me out for the work that I do with these wrestlers and making amends with some of this stuff. So I appreciate that Sean does this. I appreciate that he asked Dax about this. Well, it was easy to ask because he was about to wrestle Bryan Danielson. And so it was an easy little tie-in. I imagine if anybody, I say this all the time, I'm going to continue to say it. If you are a wrestling media pal of mine and you get to interview Bryan Danielson, just please ask him, do you see it? Are you in on it? Do you understand? Because I need to know. This is like my life goal of just knowing if Bryan Danielson knows by proxy that I exist by writing these headlines. That's all I want to know. That's it.
Do you think Bryan Danielson owns a phone that's not a flip phone?
I do. I kind of do.
Yeah? You think because yeah. Brie wants him to do that?
Yeah, I would imagine it's largely because like he's got kids. His kids are younger, but he's got kids traveling a lot and everything. I think Danielson, I was going to say that maybe he reads on his phone, but I think he's definitely, he's 100% like physical book guy. So I don't think he actually reads on his phone. I think he might have like an app of like brain games and stuff.
That's
puzzle games and stuff. So yeah, he needs more of an advanced phone than a flip phone for that.
I think he still subscribes to newsletters with paper copies that are available. I think he pays the $2 for a paper, but at the same time, he's very conscious about the earth and he wants to recycle. So maybe he doesn't want to waste the paper and the ink. So maybe he does live on an electronic device. How does one live sustainably in a world like this? How do you do it? I'm not asking you. I'm just more rhetorically putting it out there. It's a question of conscience. I'd love to hear it. Bryan Danielson. How do you do it? How do you live in this world? Why haven't you started the Blackpool Compost Club?
You're big on this. You're big on this Blackpool Compost Club. I've seen
tweets. I think he is too.
I mean, I believe it as well. There's a great tweet. I need to put this person over because I don't like taking tweets without giving credit. Primetime Archbishop Adam. Is the tweet, and it's just, I just know Dax was heated when he was trying to talk some 1981 Brett match and Brian came in the room talking about dicks. It's a great tweet. Adam Yeary NTWF is the handle.
I know. Yeah, I've seen this guy. Yeah, he's great.
Yeah,
I want to see. You think maybe Dax is like sitting in the locker room just like talking about Brett matches and favorites and all that stuff, arguing about Brett versus Sean with God knows who in the locker room. It's like this big open discussion. There's like 20 guys just talking about it. And then in comes Bryan Danielson. And the first thing he says is, who had the bigger hog?
No, I don't think this is it at all. I think Dax and Danielson, I think Dax wanted to argue about Brett and Sean. I don't know if Danielson's a Brett guy or a Sean guy. I feel like he trained with Sean, under Sean a little bit. He strikes me more as a Sean guy, just given their history and stuff. But I could also just see him appreciating Brett's work more than Sean's because they wrestle in a similar style and everything. So I think Dax wants to argue about like technical ability and performance ability. And Danielson's like, I don't give a shit about that. Whose dick is bigger?
That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying is it's not even that Brian is like, it's not Dax and Brian discussing it. It's like Brian saunters into the locker room while Dax is having a full-on conversation with everybody else. And Brian just perks his ears up and says, well, I don't know, who's got the bigger hog? And that's it. And that's pandemonium. That's how we shut down the entire conversation. Brian just takes control.
Maybe. I could see it. Bless Brian.
I could see everyone here leaving a thumbs up here on this video and a comment while you're here and subscribing to Fightful Overbooked. Jeremy, what you got going on? Let's get out of here.
I don't know. Watch Strong Style. That's what I wanted to say. Watch that with Cher Delaware, and for some reason Joel was there as well. I don't really know your purpose
conversation
on that show. I guess so. Watch Strong Style. Watch FMC. Watch Tag Talk. Watch Tim and Joel Call It in the Ring. Subscribe to the channel. Leave us a thumbs up. Watch this show if you're not already watching. Don't follow me on Twitter. Follow Steven Jensen at Fight Talk _. Don't follow me, please.
Follow Steven Jensen at Fight Talk _. He's good stuff. He's a good follow. He's got plenty to say. You don't have to follow me at Joel Pearl, JOELTHEERL, but you can if you want. Instead, just subscribe to the channel. There's stuff here every day. We drop all the content every single day. Interviews, conversations, whatever you want, we got it. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.